All right.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the podcast, guys.
The Sunday afternoon podcast.
I'm Jennifer.
My name is Jelana.
And today we got a good one for you.
We got a really good one.
We're talking about singleness.
Singleness.
And contentment.
And contentment. Maybe I should just repeat everything you say for the whole episode.
Or? Yeah, so we're going to be talking about singleness and contentment and just what that looks like and how to basically put the two together, because oftentimes you don't really hear those two things together. It's usually you're just bitter and single.
That's real.
Yeah. So we kind of want to just talk about just how we have dealt with not being content in our singleness, and then the ways in which we've kind of overcome that.
And found contentment, and why it's okay to be content, and why it's important to be content. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just how to view your singleness, like you said, as a gift, mm-hmm. Instead of just a season that we need to rush through, right, and something that we need to fix.
Right.
And it's funny because it's just so embedded in our culture. You're talking about being bitter and single. I feel like in our culture we just have two ends of the spectrum. You're either bitter and single and wanting to be in a relationship, or you don't care and it's all the single ladies, mm-hmm. and you know, like all the I don't need a man.
I don't need no man
songs. So we're here to say that there's a happy medium. Yes. Can we talk about the fact that it is 1:40 a.m. right now?
You guys, it's 1:40 a.m. Saturday morning. Yeah. Let's just say this. This is our first time.
We ain't never had a podcast before.
We never had a podcast before. So we are up late trying to figure this thing out. We're trying to get a Facebook page together. We are recording this
literally 24 hours before it needs to go up.
Just really trying here.
In our defense, we had a plan for episode 2 that just, it wasn't right.
It wasn't right, yeah, so we had to kind of scrap it.
Yeah, and we're bringing you our best.
We're trying.
So you're welcome.
You sound angry.
I'm tired, okay?
It's tired. We have the diffuser going.
Yeah, what's lavender.
Lavender.
And rosemary.
Nice. We just had chocolate.
Coffee. I had coffee at 11 p.m. and I think it did nothing. I feel the same. But I have my slippers on, so it's fine. Speaking of being bitter. No. I might be bitter that it's the middle of the night and we're recording this episode. But what I'm not bitter about is being single.
What a smooth transition.
Segways. Be here all week.
Let's talk about God's plan for singleness. What do you think that looks like?
I feel like God's plan for singleness is the same as God's plan for any stage of life that you're in. I think we mess up a little bit when we just think of each stage individually, and not that there aren't specificities for different life stages, but God's plan for our life is for us to be more like Jesus, and for us to be with him in the end, and for us to be sanctified. So that's his plan when you're single. That's his plan when you're married.
Right.
So
his plan across the board.
Across the board. That's what the goal is.
Yeah. So I want to just first kind of start off by talking about just kind of how we struggle with our contentment, with our singleness, like back in the day, like a couple days ago.
Yesterday, actually.
But for me, I think I struggle with being single more so, I think, in my college years.
Yeah.
Struggling with being single because I just had this idea that at a certain point, mm-hmm. I would at least be in a relationship, mm-hmm. That would one day turn into marriage. But then I there was nothing of the sort happening. I didn't have a single prospect. But I'm thinking about even in like elementary
Yeah.
And were you going to say something?
I was going to say you probably did have prospects. You just didn't know about them. So I guess where maybe they weren't prospects then if you didn't acknowledge them as prospects. But saying that you didn't have any prospects just sounds like nobody liked you. And I just don't think that's true. Continue.
Actually, to think about it, I wonder who would like me in college. Because I didn't really make a ton of relationships with people. Maybe I had a secret admirer.
Confess.
But I think in like middle school and high school, I would see like some of the more popular girls or just my friends in general would like get all this male attention. Mm. And I didn't get that male attention, and I genuinely felt like I was just not that attractive. Yeah. Potentially because of that. But it made me still want to be in relationship. Mm. Because I noticed the attention that they were getting. I thought, hey, you know, I mean, is it weird to say like you don't want attention? Like, no. Or is it weird to say that you do want attention? I don't know.
No.
So I felt like I wanted that attention, and I felt like that caused me to like just act totally out of character.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would. You know, you pick up on cues. You pick up on what gets attention. So you do those things. You know, you walk a certain way. You talk a certain way. You dress a certain way just to get that attention, just to feel that love.
Yeah.
Air quotes, love. Yeah, yeah, yeah. From somebody.
Attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting how, I guess, two girls of the same age and maybe not similar experiences, but I think similar struggles with self-image can just kind of have two separate responses. Mm-hmm. And neither being healthy. Because I think for me, again, I would say that my discontentment definitely presented itself more once I got to college. But mm-hmm. I wasn't really trying to date anyone in high school.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like, well, college was the time where my Prince Charming would present himself.
Mm-hmm.
And we would get married as soon as we graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be great. But that...
Done.
But for me, I think I went to school in a completely different environment.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no one... I went to a much smaller school. There wasn't anybody that I was really interested in. But also, when I did go to a larger school, I didn't have good experiences with guys.
Like, did they bully you or something?
Yeah, I'm going to talk more about it in the body image episode, but I just became very aware of my body in ninth grade because of some attention from guys that was not warranted and not welcomed.
Yeah.
And I think that just made me kind of more so crawl into a shell or kind of go into myself rather than projecting outwardly. And honestly, it wasn't myself anymore. I think middle school Jelana was really outgoing and vibrant. And then once I got to high school, because of that experience, I was just kind of shut off and just waited it out. I was like, I'm done with y'all. I'm going to college. You know, and like the last few years of school, at least relationship-wise with guys, I was not trying to date anybody. But college Jelana, no.
I think the reason why I struggle so much with singleness is because I had this timeline in my head of when I felt like things were supposed to happen.
Right.
And I thought that, okay, at this age, you're at least supposed to meet him. And then,
right.
And then you're supposed to start dating, and then you get engaged, and then you get married.
Yeah.
And I think by the time I got to the age of where I thought I was supposed to be at least in a relationship, and I saw no one around, and then...
It's too late.
Right, creeping to the age of, like, wanting to be engaged... And then thinking, like,
where yet?
What's going on? This isn't what I planned. Like, I think that really made me feel like something was, like, physically wrong with me. Like, something was actually...
Yeah.
I wasn't dateable.
Right.
And it made me... So then I started hearing all these things about being called to singleness. And I'm thinking, like, don't give me that. Like, called to singleness? Like... That just doesn't seem fair. Like, so this is what you're going to give me, Lord? Like, you're going to call me to singleness right now?
Hmm.
I don't want it. Right. I don't want it.
And it was like the people who were called to singleness were the people who weren't dateable.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it feels like. Yeah.
So it was like, what? It just seems like...
Oh, you must be called to singleness.
Like, I don't know if you remember Sister Sister, when they tried out for the children team. There was an A squad, and they were all really good, really pretty and everything. And then there was a D squad. And it was like, wow. You know, that's what being called to singleness feels like, the D squad.
Right.
So it's just like, wow.
But then at the end, they were the better squad.
Exactly.
And Lisa made them those really cool uniforms.
Yes.
So I don't know how that ties into it.
But there's hope.
But just remember that. We get to wear rhinestones. Where do you think that comes from? Just like this idea, this expectation that we had seemingly from birth to be in a relationship, that is like our end goal.
You know what, that's the thing. I would want to ask the people who are older than us, because I feel like I heard it from adults, like in the church. Like it was always this thing in the church, like, you know, waiting for your man, or like like preparing, like always be preparing yourself for marriage. Like that was always what was taught. I feel like it was, I didn't feel like I heard anything about you're single now, so cherish his time.
Yeah.
I don't feel like there's ever anything like that. So my mindset was always, there is a goal, you have to get to it, work toward it.
Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that the church doesn't really know what to do with single people?
Yeah.
Like the singles ministry, and not in all churches, obviously, I can only speak from experience, it's kind of like a hodgepodge or like a catch-all. Mm-hmm. If you're too old to be in college ministry but not married, so you can't be in the newly marrieds class or the married with young children's class, like, let's just throw them in singles ministry.
Yeah.
And it's just this huge age gap of people.
Which is weird. This is probably going off topic, but it's kind of weird to even think about anyway, because why are there ministries like that? Why is there a newly married ministry? Like, when you really think about it, it doesn't make that much sense.
It doesn't.
So that's why maybe a singles ministry feel weird, because it's just like, we're just people who live our life. Like, we all are living our life, so why are we all separated anyway? Right. I don't know. That's probably another topic for another day, but...
But honestly, like, those categories just reiterate this idea that singleness is a state that we need to get out of.
Yeah.
Because we need to find our box.
Yeah.
And it's not in the singles ministry. But also, I think just as human beings, this desire to be loved is misplaced. And we've replaced God with a romantic relationship.
Yeah. And I think the things that you want to feel, or that wholeness and that completeness that you desire to feel, you look for it in other people. Right. Other things, too, but
in also... In a romantic relationship. Right. Yeah. Specifically.
I think.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's in the music we listen to. It's in the movies we watch.
Yeah.
When we get older, listening to Chris Brown.
Yeah.
I wanted a boy to sing that song to me and follow... Well, did I really want a guy to follow me around the streets? Singing?
Yeah. And I think it's funny, because I think about even... I can't remember this song, but anyway, just like music videos in general, always perpetuated this idea of there's a guy pursuing this girl. The girl was kind of coy, like, oh, you know, like, but this guy was desiring her. She was desirable, and I feel like, maybe at the time I didn't realize that was affecting me, but maybe it was, and I would like to think that I'm smarter than being affected by social media and media in general, but I don't think it's a matter of being smart or not. I think it's just what you allow to enter into yourself is kind of what comes out.
And it's subconscious.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of what was happening.
Yeah. And I think for me, I had to realize actually fairly recently that, like, the things that I was watching and nothing even bad, quote unquote bad, but just it was a continued idea of a romantic relationship being the end goal. It's the end goal of every romantic comedy. Mm-hmm. It's the end goal of every love song, you know, is to be in that relationship. And it was in me, and I realized that I was constantly discontent because I was constantly putting that in my head. Yeah. Like, yeah. And, you know, like you said, you want to be smarter than it, but mm-hmm. We're not smarter than our subconscious. Like, it's just, it's in our bodies.
Yeah.
Well, you know. My head is in my body, okay? Finding that contentment is really important, because I think me 6 years ago would have seen a podcast episode titled Contentment and Singleness, and I would have skipped it, because I was so focused on what I wanted, and what I wanted was to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
So I was only going to seek out advice or books or podcasts on how to get me what I want.
Yeah.
Not how to be single better.
Like, yeah.
I don't want that. I don't want to be single.
Right.
But, you know, that's not something that we can change in and of ourselves.
Yeah.
And not do it God's way. I mean, right. I'm confident that both of us could go out right mm-hmm. now. Maybe not right now. Well, I mean, I was going to say not right now, because we would attract the wrong kind of man. But point being, we could go out and we could have several boyfriends.
Yeah.
And not in a conceited way, but just... You could.
Yeah.
You definitely could. If you say the right things, wear the right things, mm-hmm. Seek out that attention, you will find it.
Yeah.
But wanting to do it God's way.
Right.
Takes patience.
Yeah.
And takes being content with waiting for God.
Yeah. And I think it also takes a sense of boldness, because I feel like it is so easy to compromise, and not mm-hmm. let me say it from experience. It's so easy to just kind of give up your morals just for the sake of comfort.
Yeah.
For the sake of trying to make someone else happy as well. Like, okay, well, you know, my Christianity, my belief in the Lord is probably going to make this person feel a little uncomfortable. It may make this guy feel a little uncomfortable. Let me kind of just scale it back so that he can be comfortable. And I've done that before. And so I think it takes a sense of boldness to really hold on to, like, your beliefs
mm-hmm.
And what you believe to be true mm-hmm. instead of just kind of giving it up to the first person who you come across because you're so lonely, you know, and because you're single.
Right.
You know, so I think even though we are single, it isn't because it's just no guys left in the world. It's also a choice.
Right.
To wait it out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to trust God that if he would allow for God to come.
Right. And I think what's given me kind of like a wake-up call, it's been pretty sobering, is to see people my age who have gotten married mm-hmm. younger on their second marriage, you know, honestly. Sad. And some of them I've talked to, so I feel more comfortable, I guess, speaking from this perspective and not... I hope I don't sound, like, judgmental, because that's definitely not the goal, and that's not what I'm trying to say. But in speaking to them and listening to them, there are a lot of things that they ignored
mm-hmm.
In that first marriage, because it was kind of like, this was the next step.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to get married. Just, you know, following through with that idea, like, this is something that you're supposed to do after college. Now that you're an adult, you date for a while and you get married.
Yeah.
But not really factoring in what marriage is supposed to look like, what God wants marriage to look like.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they kind of find themselves in that situation. So for me, I'm like, well, Lord, learning from them... helps me to be content with where I'm at, because if he says, Jelana, I want you to wait until you're 32, but you're gonna stay married for the rest of your life,
mm-hmm, like, and not be divorced
and not have to go through that, I'll wait for that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, not especially, I don't want to compromise on that just for the sake of not being alone.
Right. And I think like, when I think about marriage, my beliefs are, once you're married, you're married.
That's it.
Yeah, like, we're in this thing.
Yeah.
Of course, if, what is the grounds for divorce from the court of the Bible? If
they're
adultery. So infidelity. If there's adultery, then I understand that. So if I'm going to be with somebody for the rest of my natural life, mm-hmm. we got to make sure that this guy is right. top notch. So
he needs to come correct.
Right, he needs to come correct. Right. So I'm not going to just kind of take whoever just because, oh, I'm 33. Where is he? You know, and just kind of take whoever. So.
Right. And even though the Bible does speak to, like, the biblical allowances for divorce, it still says that God hates divorce.
Right.
So even those allowances were more for us. And not to say that, you know, people, you shouldn't get a divorce. Some situations may call for that after, you know, trust has been broken in that way. But we know stories of people who have stayed together.
Yeah, after that. And they have a beautiful marriage.
Right.
So it can, it's possible.
Yeah, and I think God's goal
is
restoration. And
right.
So, again, two people need, we're not, I'm just, I almost want to back off of it right now. Because it's like, listen, I'm not an expert in this at all. But, you know, the two people have to be willing to restore. And each situation is different. But point being, I think God loves marriage mm-hmm. and hates divorce. The end. So knowing that, you know, just it just helps me appreciate where I'm at.
Yeah. Like, sometimes when we look at other people, like maybe our friends or people who you see just like on Instagram and, you know, oh, it's like mm-hmm. an engagement photo shoot or like, oh, my friends got engaged or something. It's like, oh, where's my guy? And you start, you know, kind of like really comparing yourself and thinking like, you know, why can't I have that? It reminds me of this letter that my sister got, or a comment
on Instagram.
Instagram. I don't think it was Instagram. It was like some like letter. I think it was a letter, and I think she posted it or something. Somehow I was able to read this letter. And the letter was basically saying like, you know, I really love this person. She's so great. You know, I really value our friendship. And I remember reading that letter and thinking like, oh man, like, I wonder why no one has written something like that for me. Like, I feel so unappreciated in my relationships. And I was actually really upset by it. So I called my mentor and I was talking to her about it. And she was saying, well, first of all, you don't need to compare your relationship to someone else's because you don't even know what their relationship is like. Like,
right.
you don't have an inside scoop on their relationship. You don't know the ins and outs of it. So I was like, okay. And then come to find out, I was asking my sister about the person who wrote her this, like, really great letter. And she was like, actually, I don't even really know her that well, and we're not that great of a friend, great of friends. And I was just like, huh. And like, here I am comparing myself to this other relationship that really is almost non-existent for how she made it seem.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And I'm like envious over it, and it's not even a legit thing. And I think we do that so often when we look at other relationships, because we see it. It was like, oh, that's mm-hmm. so cute, they're holding hands or kissing in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you nothing, about their relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't tell you how they're communicating. It doesn't tell you how they're spending their time together. It doesn't show mm-hmm. anything. So I think just like being cautious when we do start comparing ourselves.
Yeah. And I mean, we said it in the last episode, and I'll say it in every episode, it is so easy to be fake on Instagram.
Yeah.
And coming from somebody, I love Instagram. Mm-hmm. Maybe love is a little strong. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I don't want to love it. Take that back. I enjoy it, and I think it's a good tool.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I use it too much. But it's very easy to be fake on Instagram. And I don't even know if people are fake intentionally. A lot of the times, I think we present what we wish were true.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean it's true.
Right.
So.
Blah, blah.
So how have we found ways to push for contentment?
Yeah.
And this is not to say that we've now
found it, and we are content all the time. Honestly, for me, it depends on the day sometimes. You know, like some days I'm like, I'm good, and some days I might want to put on a Tori Kelly song and cry. But I think the goal is to be pushing for contentment, because, you know, Paul says he's learned to be content in whatever state he's in. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to learn to be content in this state, knowing that God ultimately has good things for me in the end, and that might mean there are unpleasant things in the middle, but ultimately I'm going to see a good ending. Even if that means I die single, it's still a good ending, because I'm going to be with the Jesus Lord. In heaven. So how do I find that peace? How do we find that peace in whatever state we're in?
Yeah. I think for me, it was kind of an eye-opening thing. The Lord spoke to me a few years ago at this point, maybe just like more so a couple years ago. Just the idea that I am literally still a whole person, whether or not I'm in a relationship or not.
Yeah.
Like, there's still work that he's doing in me. Like, the work doesn't stop. It doesn't change just because I'm in a relationship or not. Like, he's still going to be actively pursuing me, and I'm still going to be actively pursuing him.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter who I'm with, or it doesn't matter if I'm with, or it doesn't matter if I'm in a relationship or not.
Yeah. And I think for me, one way that I've, I guess, found contentment is to just continue to learn who God has made me to be and get to know myself.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy for us to define who we are based on how desirable we are.
Yeah.
That's true. Whether or not we have a boyfriend who thinks we're pretty, or a boyfriend who thinks we're funny, or, you know, just, but really, like, just getting to know me for me and who God has made me to be and what he's put in me to give to the world, not just to give to a husband, has been really beneficial.
Yeah. And I think about this one time a few years ago, I was thinking about all the things that I wanted to be for my husband. And I was like, okay, I'm going to be, like, an encourager. I'm going to be, like, you know, so supportive.
So pretty all the time.
Like, I'm going to be all these things. And the Lord was like, you can be all those things to your friends.
Yeah.
Like, you can pour into your friends now. Yeah. You know, you can be supportive of what they have going on. And you can take interest in what they have, what they have taken interest in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, huh. Okay. Yeah, like, okay, that's cool. But, you know, honestly, that was such a huge conviction, first of all. But it was such an eye-opener because all the energy that I have inside of me to want to, like, be this really good wife, I can put that same energy, just redirect it into being a really good friend. I feel like that's caused me a lot of contentment, because it makes me feel like, oh, I don't have to wait to use all this information
awesome
that I
gifts
have.
That I, have.
Right, right. I can just use that now. Like, it doesn't, nothing changes.
Right. And it doesn't mean you're giving up on the dream of being married. Because honestly, that's the response that I've had to that same conviction. Is like, but no. Because it almost feels like, in doing that, you're giving up on this idea of being married. It's like, okay, well, I'll just settle for the call of singleness, which is the sentence of undateability.
Yeah. It's the D-squad.
Right, I'm going to settle for the D-squad. But, like, how good is God that when we don't see the fact that what we think is settling for being kind to our friends is really, he's like, hey, this is actually just going to make you a better wife.
Yeah.
Ha-ha.
I'm helping you, actually.
I'm helping you. And we're like,
yeah, that's what you're doing there.
I see you.
Yeah.
So.
And I also think, like, actually allowing the scriptures to actually penetrate and to not just read it and be like, oh, I'm his masterpiece.
But to, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Right. But to actually let that translate from just words that you read to, like, it actually being something that you truly stand on.
Yeah.
Like, let's just Let me get a soapbox for a second. Let's stand just stop and think for a second. The Lord.
Jesus.
He knit you in your mother's womb. Mm-hmm. He saw you before. Why? I feel like I want to cry.
I do too.
But he saw you before you were born.
Yeah.
The creator of the universe. He made you.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one who literally crafted you and made you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing you did and nothing you will ever do will give you more worth, will give you more love from him.
Yeah.
So why do we look for it in other people?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. He's already given that to us.
Yeah.
And the good thing is no one can take that away.
Right.
Like, no matter what anyone says, no matter what anyone thinks about us,
right,
it can never change. Like, his love never changes.
Yeah. I used to gloss over the fact that the Bible says, like, he knows the hairs on your head. Like, he knows the number. And I was like, well, that's a random thing for you to know. You know? But missing the fact that, like, he cares so much about every detail, everything that he's put in you, every facet of your personality, like, he gave that to you.
Right.
And I realized recently, you know, in our twisted, messed up culture, we say things like, oh, she has a great personality, and that's really cold for her, but she's not cute.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm like, forget that. I want to have a great personality. You know, I want that to be what I lead with.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what matters.
Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, that's what matters. Yeah.
You know, like, he gave me the sense of humor that I have. Like, he gave me the things that make me cry. Like, he cared enough to put all of that in me for a purpose.
Right.
To be able to love the people around me. Maybe to be able to love a spouse one day that he's created for me. But ultimately, because he delights in me and just because he loves me.
Right.
So, yes, I have a great personality.
So, yeah, I think when you really start to, like, let the word do its thing, I think that's, like, I feel like the best way I found contentment.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't know why this is about attractiveness right now, but I think I'm just realizing just the facade. Even maybe Valentine's Day is coming up, which is like a manufactured holiday. And I feel like our whole culture around romantic relationships is like manufactured and superficial. You know, like, we're focused on how we look. We're focused on just all of these surface level things. And honestly, like, I'm not going to be able to be cute every day. And sweatpants are like 80%. That's a high number. At least 45% of my wardrobe. You know? So, again, I want somebody to marry me because I have a great personality.
Mm-hmm.
The end. Yeah, so basically what we're saying, it's okay to be content in your singleness, and it doesn't mean you're giving up on the dream of being married.
Right. And even if you do want to be married, that's also okay. That's also a desire from God.
Yeah.
But when you want that more than what he has already happened, than what he already has in front of you, that's where the problem comes in. But if you want to one day be married, like we were saying, by all means, just, you know, obey the Lord.
Right.
Follow his word.
Right.
And just live his truth out. That's how you prepare for marriage.
Right. Right. There's not a special marriage track, like in college, you know, like college prep.
Yeah, like,
there's not marriage.
Marriage 101. And I think, you can, like, hear stories of from other married couples and how they merge their lives together and some of the finer things. But overall, it all came from you have a love for the Lord. So in all things, you want to glorify him. So because of that, you're going to want to merge your life in a way that is honoring to him.
Right.
So
the goal comes back to, again, sanctification and becoming more like Jesus.
Exactly.
So you need to learn how to communicate. You need to learn how to sacrifice because you need to be a better human.
Yeah.
Not to be a better wife or a better husband.
Just about being sanctified in Christ.
Right.
Like, that's all a part of the process.
Right. As a single person. Yes. I mean, if you're married and you're seeking to be a better wife, more power to you. But, you know, mm-hmm. as a single person, I don't need to seek to learn how to be a better wife. Right now, I'm seeking solely just learning how to follow Jesus better.
Right. Exactly.
And that's going to translate.
Perfect.
Yeah. I think it's so easy when you do focus on mm-hmm. preparing for marriage to, like you said, forget about all the other ways that the Lord wants to use you yeah. in this season. Or not even, you know, as a human. Mm-hmm. I want to get away from talking about seasons of singleness, you know. Because mm-hmm. It could be a season or it could not be. So
it could be your life.
It could be your life. And it's not a death sentence. But preparing solely for marriage, I know for me, as a 19-year-old girl who just learned that her parents were no longer going to be together anymore, I realized that I did not know mm-hmm. God's picture for marriage. And after I thought I did, and just kind of seeing that not turn out, mm-hmm. And going through that disappointment, I realized that I didn't know what God had intended for marriage. And so I did do a deep dive into
yeah.
studying how to be a wife and reading a lot of marriage books, and I don't think I understood that those things should have translated to what I was doing right then and there, and how I could have been a better friend, and mm-hmm. how I could work on healing from things
yeah.
in my past. It like, and those things were lost. It was just like, okay, I need to understand boys better right now, you know. And I think that's when you run the risk of it becoming an idol.
Yeah.
When it's your end goal.
Yeah.
Instead of the true end goal.
Right. Like, when everything you do is about this future potential relationship.
Mm-hmm.
When everything you do should be about your pursuit of the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
Because that could be with anything. Like, you could be pursuing, you yeah. know, building a business. You could be pursuing, right. like, oh, I need to get all A's in school. Right. So it's the same. It's just in the same line of
right.
of
idolization.
Yeah. Improper pursuits, whatever you want to call right. it. Yeah.
Right. It's just misplaced.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. Misplaced.
Right. And I think, I mean, the reason why, like we said, it just goes back to things that we were inundated with from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
In our culture, from this desire to be loved. That it becomes our biggest assumption for our future mm-hmm. as young children. We're like, getting married is kind of like a given for most people
mm-hmm.
versus your career or whatever. That's a little more fluid. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I wanted to be an Olympic figure skater at one point, mm-hmm. But that changed, you know. But
that
me being
cool.
Right? But me being married, that picture didn't change.
Yeah.
You know, that was an assumption. So that becomes your greatest disappointment
yeah.
as an adult when it doesn't look how yeah. you thought it was going to.
Yeah. And it's funny because I don't even think I realized that I was thinking in that way. I don't think I realized that I expected marriage.
Right.
Like, I feel like this is something that the Lord was supposed to give me.
Mm.
I mean, I'm only 29. I'm only 28.
I'm 29.
I'm only 28. There's possibly still time.
There's definitely still time.
Yeah, there's still time. I'm just like, I'm open to the idea that maybe right. there isn't, that the Lord won't call me to a marriage relationship. But
I'm saying, basically dead.
But I didn't realize that I was thinking in a way where I thought that marriage was something that was supposed to be given to me. Like this.
Right.
So as you grow up, you know, you get this, you get this, you get married, you get kids, you know, that was like my thinking. But then one day I was like, wait a minute, the Lord doesn't owe me a marriage relationship.
Yeah.
Like, he never promised me that.
Right.
Like,
right.
Unless, of course, this is not speaking to maybe someone, if the Lord has called you, like, okay, one day you will be married, and he's spoken that.
Yeah.
But as for me, I don't feel like there was ever a time where he was like, Jennifer, I will give you a husband, and this is what I owe you. Lord doesn't owe me a husband.
Right. Right.
So that shouldn't be my single pursuit.
Right. Right. And I think the overarching theme is just kind of like deconstructing these worldly
yeah.
ideas and thought processes and realizing that they don't apply to the Lord. You
yeah.
know, like everything in our lives up to this point have been
mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
School, mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
College is not mandatory, but you would have thought it was.
Especially in my household growing up.
What? Right. College, mandatory if you were a Jones or a UNC. Marriage, next step. Like, it was kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
But that's, or psh, forget marriage, career.
Mm-hmm.
Not mandatory. Not a given. Hear me, college students. Your major, study hard. Don't expect anything.
What?
I'm just saying. You might not use it. That's what I'm saying. Get it, because it'll be useful in getting a job in a field that's completely different from what you studied. I'm just saying. For me, anyway.
Yeah.
Actually, that really is just for me, because engineers, you will become an engineer if you study engineering. Yeah. Like, you can't really do anything else with that.
Yeah.
But
it's pretty linear.
Pretty straightforward. I studied print newspaper journalism, and I'm just here to let you know that I'm not using it outside of this podcast. And even still, this would be more broadcast than anything. But contentment.
But I'm content. I'm fine.
Oh man, 226. Okay.
So
essentially, what we want you to leave with is that singleness is not a curse; it's a gift.
Yeah.
But it's not more of a gift than marriage. However, you know, the Lord gives gifts that are equal, and so we shouldn't see singleness as a lower state than marriage.
Right.
And we shouldn't raise marriage up above where it should be either and idolize it.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord has you where you are for a reason.
Yeah.
And if we all spent more time focusing on that reason instead of focusing on getting out of it,
right,
we're gonna get it. We're gonna, you know, and not get the thing that we want, but we're gonna understand more of the Lord. We're gonna understand more of his plan. We're gonna understand, you know, more of what he's called us to do.
Like, even thinking about, I can't remember his name for some reason, the guy who was sold by his brothers in the Bible.
Joseph.
Yeah. I think about Joseph. Like, he was put in prison for, like, years.
12 years.
And he went through all that. And then at the end, you know, he became king and everything. But I'm just thinking about his whole journey. Like, he bloomed wherever he was planted.
Yeah.
So I don't think... So the same with singleness and marriage. If you're single, be single.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love the Lord. Live for the Lord. If you're married, bloom.
You mean blossom.
Blossom, right. Live for the Lord. Love the Lord. Live for the Lord. Like, wherever you are, no matter what season you're in, your whole purpose in that season is always going to be pursue the Lord.
Yeah, that's good. I love that story because, it's every stage that Joseph goes through in that story, it says, and he prospered, or he was elevated because the Lord was with him.
Right.
Not because of how great he was or how handsome he was. Like, because the Lord was with him. So I want to focus on being where the Lord is.
Yeah. Where he's pulling me to.
Yeah. And if he's not in a relationship, I don't want to be there.
I like that.
So we want you to leave with some ways to be content while you're single. And that would be getting to know yourself, getting to know the people around you, getting to know the Lord.
Yeah.
Does that sum it up?
That pretty much sums it up, honestly. So yeah, let us know just some things that
we want
that you struggle with being single. Like, what are some issues that you face, or what are some frustrations that you face?
Yeah.
Or what are some ways that you are being content? It's like, what ways have you fostered being content in your singleness?
And bloomed.
Yeah. How have you bloomed where you have been planted?
Right. And I think it's helpful, like, to look for those things, honestly, you know, because I think, like you said, we both had a timeline. Mm-hmm. Mine was 24. But when I look back at 24 to 29 and look at all the things that I've done and places that I've lived, where it, not to say I wouldn't have done it, but it might not have been as easy.
Mm-hmm.
Being married, focusing on that makes me content
with
where I'm at.
Yeah. So guys, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Make sure to follow us on the Instagram.
At Sunday Afternoon Podcast.
Yeah, you can also follow our personal Instagrams. Mine is Get Fit with Jen, GetFitWJen.
And mine is Jillana Jones, JillaNa, and my last name is Jones.
Yes, and also be sure to leave us a review on our podcast and rate us.
Yeah, on iTunes. I mean, you can rate on other platforms, I'm pretty sure, but definitely on iTunes, leave us a review. Leave us 5 stars because you know you want to. tell your friends.
All of them.
Yeah, share, keep sharing it. Oh my gosh, thank you so much to you, those who have shared it on their social media or just word of mouth, because everything doesn't have to be on the internet. But
yeah.
Continue sharing it. Continue talking to us. We love talking to you.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, you'll hear us in our next episode.
Yeah. We will see you next Sunday.
Bye, guys.
Bye.